From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The term elder abuse typically brings to mind victimization by family members or neglect on the part of nursing home staff, but a new study from Cornell University finds that hostility between residents is a growing problem in the U.S. Nearly one in five residents involved in the study had reported experiencing some form of elder-to-elder mistreatment in the previous month. We'll take a closer look at the report's findings and recommendations for identifying and addressing the problem. Plus, the holidays are a time that prompt many residents to open their hearts and wallets, and a season that sparks a lot of charitable giving. We explore how to make sure your charitable donations are really going to organizations and efforts that use your dollars responsibly, along with other ways to avoid becoming a scammer's next victim this holiday season. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for being with us. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be taking a closer look at how to avoid getting scammed this holiday season. The holidays are a time for generosity when many of us open our hearts and wallets, not just for gift-giving to loved ones, but in donating to charitable causes. Unfortunately, the holidays can also create opportunities for scammers to make you their next victim. In an effort to help protect Florida consumers, Attorney General Pam Bondi recently released a 114-page online guide, including tips on how to safely make purchases and avoid charity scams. Locally, the Lee County Sheriff's Office Economic Crimes Unit has been involved in a collaborative effort with the Cape Coral Police and the State Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, dubbed Season Skimming. That operation's been targeting skimming devices that steal credit card information when you swipe your card at the gas pump. Joining me now for a closer look at that operation, other ways scammers can target victims over the holidays, and ways to avoid charity scams, is Lee County Sheriff's Office Detective Kevin Watkins with the office's Economic Crimes Unit. Detective Watkins, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon, John.
Also with us in studio is News Press Consumer Watchdog columnist Melanie Payne. She recently published a piece offering tips on how to make sure your charitable donations are going to reputable organizations that will use your money responsibly. You can read her column in the News Press or online at news-press.com/news/consumer. Melanie Payne, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
And I invite listeners to join us as well. Have you encountered a holiday-related scam you think others should know about? Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments and questions on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, or join our live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Melanie, I wanted to start with you. There's figuratively, an ocean of organizations out there all vying for donations from individuals. You know, some do a good job of funneling those donations directly toward their charitable efforts. Others not so much, and some are just downright scams. For folks looking to give to a charity this holiday season, how can they evaluate and decide which organizations they want to give to?
Well, there are a number of places that will evaluate your charities and look at their finances and how much is going to administrative, how much is going to fundraising. I tell people to never give to anybody who just calls them over the phone. That really is usually not going – they're paying a fundraiser, especially if it's someone they've never been involved with. And the other thing is that one of the things that people can do is kind of stay local with their charitable donations. They can actually see what the nonprofit is doing in the community. They can go there. They can ask them for copies of their financial forms. Those sort of things really help a lot.
And one of the tools you mentioned in that column was going to the Internal Revenue Service. Why the IRS?
The IRS lists charities that are approved, that are 501c3s, that allow them to, that are on the list. The other thing is that a lot of charities will have their status revoked by the IRS, and they will continue to function and ask for donations year after year, and it will be maybe 3, 4, 5 years that they haven't reported to the IRS before that you find out that they are really no longer charitable donations.
And what about the Better Business Bureau as a tool? They've got a pretty comprehensive rating system.
Yes, they do. They have a, I actually like theirs very much. It's they have a BBB.org, and you can look it up online. But they list the charities, and they look at a number of different things, the transparency, how where the donations go, how much they use, the ethics involved in their in their bylaws, and it's a pretty good roundup of that. It's just it's a little limited. There are usually just larger charities that are covered by that. Charity Navigator also has about 8,000 charities, and another source is the Department of Department of Agriculture and Consumer Affairs that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. People should call and see if that charity is registered with them, because if they're not registered with their state, they're probably not doing other things right. And you can reach them with 1-800-HELP-FLA.
And you'd also recommended another tool put together by the Tampa Bay Times and the Center for Investigative Reporting, Charity Checker.
Yeah, and Charity Checker's a really cool little web. They call it a widget. You go on their website and you can put in a charity and it'll show you a number of different ratings, like the rating from Charity Navigator, the rating from the Better Business Bureau, people who have just written in a review site about the charity. Maybe they've been involved in it or they've seen the work that they've done. So it's a really good little tool. And I think that they have about 10,000 charities on there.
We're talking with News Press Consumer Watchdog columnist Melanie Payne and Lee County Sheriff's Office Detective Kevin Watkins about how to avoid scams and keep your financial information safe this holiday season. Connect with our guests with your comments and questions with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org, or you can join the live Twitter chat using hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Melanie, tell us about charity solicitations specifically for things like law enforcement or something along those lines. I understand that you've had concerns from local residents.
Yes, I have. And one of the things is that people will get calls from, and Detective Watkins might know of these. These charities will say that they're raising money for local law enforcement. And they really aren't your local sheriff calling. It's not your local sheriff calling you. And people are afraid that if they don't give to these charities, they won't get service when they call 911, or they'll be inappropriately stopped. And it's actually against the law for these charities to suggest that you will get reduced services if you do not give to them. So and people feel kind of bullied into giving to these things. They really should not, and they shouldn't feel obligated to give to it just because they call up with a law enforcement name. It's not going to happen. 911 is going to come when you call them, whether you give or not.
And Detective Watkins, is that something you hear from as well?
During this time of the year, seasons, during the holidays, we get a lot of calls that come in, and a lot of agencies and organizations out there, you know, find this as a target-rich time to go ahead and solicit. So they are out there soliciting, and some of them are legitimate, but however, there's a lot that are not. So we do get through our fraud hotline that we have set up. We have a fraud hotline through Lee County Sheriff's Office, and we'll receive the calls in, and we'll investigate them, or we'll get a tip through Crime Stoppers to look into these allegations. And it is predominant during this time of the year that some of these are not legitimate agencies that are representing themselves collecting these funds. And not only that, some of the agencies, the percentage of the funds that they're going to donate to that they say they're going to donate, don't even make it to the recipients. So that's a great concern for us as well.
And I actually did some telefundraising work, you know, part-time when I was on college, just making it through. So I know some of those phone calls are legitimate, but are there any kind of telltale signs if you get one of those, you know, phone solicitations that it might not be real?
I would say if you get a solicitation over the phone, do your due diligence, do your homework, you know, Google the organization before you donate to them and tell them you get back with them, or ask them to go ahead and just send you a packet on it so that you can go ahead and do your research before you're going to, you know, you're going to go ahead and give them that money or dedicate yourself to that charity, you know, and that's one of the things is it's a buyer beware kind of thing we want to put out there.
And of course, protecting, you know, Lee County residents from economic crimes is, of course, a year-round effort on your part. But do you really see an uptick around this time of year? Is it?
We do. Typically, we do start seeing a rise in certain aspects of fraud taking place because of the fact that we have a large influx of individuals that come down here during the holiday season to stay in seasonal homes. So Sheriff Mike Scott, you know, he's definitely looked at that, and we have the fraud hotline, and also we have a setup where we put out fraud alerts through our website, which is sheriffleefl.org, and we go ahead, and when we start seeing these types of events going on, we go ahead and we post on our website, you know, what to be aware of and what to look for. So these are things that we're trying to educate the not only consumers, you know, the buyers, and the general public. And our, you know, of course, our job is to safeguard the citizens of Lee County from any victimization at all.
And are there any specific recent scans of late that you might want to highlight that were just maybe stuck out on your head for some reason or another as being particularly unusual? Or
Well, we've posted several of them on our website that we've looked. We saw kind of a little bit of a rise where we see spam. Spam emails and all that come across mm-hmm. where they're soliciting you, saying that your account's going to be shut down if you don't go ahead and pay or update your service. And a couple of those, you know, you need to be really careful before you click onto the buttons, because when you get these spam emails or you get spam text messages and you go to click onto these buttons or go to click onto the URL, it'll redirect you to another website where they now, we call it phishing. Now, you know, it's called an order confirmation is what they're sending out. And when you click on that, it redirects you, and now you're vulnerable for them to install malware.
Gotcha.
One of the things that you asked was about, are there any telltale signs? And one is if they want the money right away. If mm-hmm. they ask you to pay by credit card immediately over the phone, forget it. Just, you know, hang up. And just tell, you know, I tell people to kind of rehearse a little speech that says, I evaluate my charities at the beginning of the year and decide who I'm going to donate to. Please send me your information and maybe you can get on next year's list. Mm-hmm. And that's it, mm-hmm. you know, and then let them go.
Gotcha. And Detective Watkins, I mentioned earlier the season skimmings operation. Tell us a little bit about that. This is about actually stealing your credit card information at the gas pump.
That's correct. We did some research over time, pretty much since about 2009. We've done research to really locate and identify where our victims in Lee County, where their identities were being stolen or taken from or where it originated. So over time, we've worked in conjunction with other federal and local authorities to run these card when we have a victim run the card numbers. And when we did that, we found out there was either a skimmer on an ATM or there was a skimmer on a gas pump. We started seeing an uprising of skimmers on the gas pumps. And of course, you know, we looked into that and thought, okay, we need to take an aggressive approach on this because of the fact that it is starting to multiply and increase. With that effort, we teamed up with other agencies, and we went ahead and we started going out and educating not only the gas stations, consumers, but we started doing inspections to look for these devices so that we could go ahead and intercept them before they were taken by the crooks and then used with everyone's identities.
And how do you spot a skimmer?
You cannot the average consumer cannot spot a skimmer. It is not going to be visible to the human eye, you know, of you looking at a gas pump. You will not know it's on the gas pump. Now, there are skimmers what are called overlay skimmers that go on ATMs throughout banks or other businesses. Those skimmers, sometimes you can see they're placed on with double-sided tape, and they're a little bit more visible. These skimmers are placed internally inside. They breach the mechanical mechanisms on the pumps. They actually get inside of them and breach the system and put these, and they place them in there.
Hmm. Yeah, the Associated Press had recently run a piece about that being an issue in the Boynton Beach area. So you kind of answered my next question. That's an issue here as well.
Correct. Yes, it's been established that it's an issue pretty much nationwide. It's just certain areas they're specifically targeting, and I feel like they might be targeting these areas because of the fact target-rich environment with certain individuals. So with that said, it's very important for the general public that if they're you're using a debit card or your credit card. You know, once in a while, go on and just look at any unauthorized charges, even a couple dollars, to make sure that nothing unauthorized went on your card. Because these individuals, once they take your information and use your card, they will do a test run with it. And they do this test run, and they'll only run a couple dollars with a purchase to make sure that number's still good. Mm. So if you see that come up, you need to immediately notify your bank, and you need to notify law enforcement, because we need to know possibly where that point of compromise might have taken place.
Gotcha. And, even with you guys out there doing these operations and making sure that the pumps are safe, I mean, if someone just wants to be doubly sure, is it safer to, even though it's convenient to just stand right there and be able to pump your gas in the pump and not have to go inside, to actually go inside and just pay the cashier?
You could go inside. That is one effort that you could take to go inside and use your card at the inside terminal in the store. The other thing is, you know, we recommend that if you can run your card as credit or use a credit card, it's not readily accessible. If they do compromise your information, they're not directly into your bank account, because it will take time after you file a fraud affidavit with your bank to get your funds put back into your bank account. Mm-hmm. So if you use a credit card, you can go ahead and dispute that right away with your credit card company, and then you're not out the money right away, which if you use your debit card, of course, they are readily accessible to your bank account, and it could be weeks before you get a refund.
Okay. And people get confused because the debit card will have a MasterCard or Visa logo on it. It still is a debit card, mm-hmm. and it's going to come right out of your bank, and you're going to be out that money during the holiday season. And it could take – sometimes it's just a few days, and sometimes it's a week or two. And in the meantime, you have checks bouncing, and you have no money.
Right, right. Well, and Black Friday and Cyber Monday are now behind us, but we all know there's still going to be plenty of gift purchasing going on in the coming weeks. In light of those massive data breaches that we have all read about in the news, do you have any tips on how consumers can protect their financial information while, shopping, whether it be a brick-and-mortar store or online?
Just they need to be aware of where they're using their cards. When they go into a store, there is no real safeguard against being compromised. And a lot of people say, well, if I go to a restaurant and hand my card to a server and they walk away with it, is that a concern? Anytime your card's out there, it's a concern. Even web-based purchases, you go over the internet and nothing is totally secure. Mm-hmm. So we just the main thing is that, use legitimate brands that you see. Recently, Amazon was spoofed. Somebody went on to Amazon and was able to redirect people from another website and do all kinds of sales. And if you're going online, make sure when you go onto your URL browser that you go to a website and it says HTTP, there's an S behind that. That means a secured website. So HTTPS means that it's secured, you're on a secured website. Otherwise, you're kind of putting your information out there. And brick and mortar stores, when you go inside, just be cognizant of, who you're handing your card to. Kind of keep an eye on it using your card. We haven't really seen a whole lot with being out there with the consumers in the stores compromising these cards, and there's security measures for that. The other thing is a lot of hotels, individuals recently have been going out to hotels and they use hotel free Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. or they use the hotel kiosk computers. It's been several alerts have gone out that key loggers are being put onto these hotel computers that are in the lobbies and all that. So just, be cautious about what information, because it could potentially get your email address or your banking information as you go in there.
I was just about to do something over the weekend where a friend of mine who gets an employee discount was going to help me buy a gift at a reduced price, and I was just going to give her my credit card number via a text message. Why would that be a bad idea?
Well, it is more secure to use your cell phone, like an LTE network or using your cell phone network. Whenever you send something via your cell phone, it is much more secure than using free Wi-Fi. There's Wi-Fi sniffers. We call them Wi-Fi sniffers. And there's people out there just waiting for that opportunity to go to a web cafe or somewhere that gives free Wi-Fi to intercept through the Wi-Fi your information. And it could be anywhere. It could be a store. It could be a restaurant. So these are the things you have to be cautious of when you're sending this. So my advice would be to, if you're going to send something through your cellular website or through your cell phone without Wi-Fi, that is more secure than using the Wi-Fi, because that it's harder for them to get that information, almost impossible right now.
And Melanie, I kind of wanted to go back to charities here just with the last few minutes we have here. In your column, you recommended people, not just donate money to a charity, but maybe even go ahead and volunteer for one in addition to or instead of.
Yeah, I think volunteering is really underrated. Especially in our area, the organizations need volunteers. We have year-round residents during the summertime especially. So get involved in a charity and you actually see where your money's going and what to do. Another point I really wanted to get across,
yes,
was people give small amounts to a lot of charities, and this is really a problem, especially with older people. And you need to limit the number, because otherwise they sell your name and you really get bombarded with things. And my last point that I want to make is the holidays are a great time to talk to your older relatives about scams. If over the dinners at, you know, Christmas dinner, talk to grandma and tell her you will never be in Mexico and call her and need money. Mm-hmm. Those types of things. Just say the types of scams that are going on and use that opportunity to really assess whether your older relatives are being taken advantage of, because a lot of times you really don't know. And that's the kind of conversation that you need to have around the dinner table during this holiday season.
All right. And unfortunately, Detective Watkins, if somebody does find themselves in a position where they feel like they need to report a scam, what is that hotline number they could reach the Lee County Sheriff's?
They can call our general our general number, 477-1000, and go through to our hotline. We have a fraud hotline that's set up where we filter hundreds of calls weekly, and they can call over and we'll put them in touch with our seniors, either senior services or our fraud hotline, to do, or they could also do a Crime Stoppers tip if they believe there's something that's involved with criminal activity.
Gotcha. Well, that is about all the time we have for today's show, but thank you so much, Melanie Payne and Detective Kevin Watkins, for joining us in studio today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Sean.
Detective Kevin Watkins is with the Lee County Sheriff's Office Economic Crimes Unit, and Melanie Payne is a News Press consumer watchdog columnist. You can read her column, Tell Mel, in the News Press or online at news-press.com/news/consumer. And there's more information on today's show and past editions of the program at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Continue the conversation on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin. This is WGCU, Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.